The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Go to the Merriam-Blake store to check out all of the incredible and trendy nerd swag we have available. Make a statement about your favorite nerddom or your favorite show on any Zoom. I mean, we all know this is pretty much all you get to see people, so you want to make sure your shirt is really cool. Or maybe any socially distanced gathering. I know a lot of people are getting together for the holidays over the screens. Or when all the craziness is said and done, and you finally get to hang out with each other, IRL. In real life. You want to make sure you got your best nerd swag on. Go on over to the maryandblakestore.com. Once again, it is the maryandblakestore.com.
I wanted two more to prove to myself that I had it in me and to make up for my failings. Especially with Charles. You're a man, you wouldn't understand. But I remember insisting that I would never let the nannies do it.
What?
Bath time. But when it came to it, I sat in a chair in the background. Because I didn't know how to...
How to what?
Hold him, touch him.
From Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to Keep Calm and Crown On. It's a podcast dedicated to the Crown on Netflix, so grab your best cup of tea and let's get royal. And welcome back. My name is Mary Larson.
My name's Blake, and I think it is definitely a dream of mine to fly past somebody that is unwittingly just sitting there, not knowing that a helicopter is coming. I think I had that dream starting in Top Gun. What? You know, when they're like, oh yeah, yeah, they're just gonna, we're gonna buzz the tower.
Yeah.
And it was just funny, and it was great. You know, I want to be Maverick. I don't necessarily want to be Andrew, but I definitely want to be Maverick. And I want to buzz somebody real bad. Like, I don't know, it's just a fun little dream of mine to have.
Yeah, well, if you get money to buy a helicopter, maybe you can do it
one
day.
Or an F-14, either one.
There you go. Well, I just wanted to remind you, before we get into today's episode and we delve into all the mommy and kid time, that we would love to thank our friends at jointhenerdclan.com. You can, of course, subscribe to this podcast, or you can find us on social media at maryandblake.com to see everything else that we've done. But once again, huge shout out to our friends at jointhenerdclan.com for making this possible. Let's get into the show.
Well, this one was titled Favorites.
Yes.
Episode 404, Favorites, spelt with a U. The proper way.
Proper in some stances.
The British way, you know, the American way. We just forego the U. We don't need that U.
Hey, that's bananas.
U's a bananas. This one was directed by Paul Whittington, who directed the Balmoral Test. Paul Whittington has one more episode for this season. It's the next episode, which, well, hopefully will be good. And the writer was Peter Morgan, of course, as the showrunner for The Crown. Marvin, your Corgi's rating, what do you have?
Okay, so I got to be real with you guys. This is my least favorite episode of this season so far, and that's okay. They can't all be perfect, but it is a 4.5. Still a solid, really good episode.
Okay, I was getting a phone call. So you know what?
This is real life, guys. So 4.5.
4.5. Okay. For me, I'm giving it actually the same, I think.
Twinsies.
you know, it was good. It's a good episode. Mm-hmm. I think it is. It wants to be better than what it is. And I think they're making again. They're pitting the Queen versus Margaret Thatcher, and I think they're doing it in an effective way, and in a way that they're mothers, but I feel like it comes out of nowhere.
Yes,
I feel like it comes out of nowhere,
which is acknowledged pretty much by Elizabeth. You know what I mean? For her, it's like, oh my gosh, I don't do motherly kind of things with my kids.
Sure.
So it makes sense for her. We don't know Margaret Thatcher enough for us to not know her, that mothering is important to her, I think. You know?
All right, what's your GBG? You're good, bad, or great?
My good is that I appreciate that these two powerhouses are women. You know, we're in a society nowadays where it is very common for many women to have jobs, have to even have side gigs, just have to have passions or have gone to school for something. So I just really appreciate that even in this time frame where they are in the 80s, when working moms were kind of picking up in the 80s, I just think it's really interesting to see how they juggle motherhood plus their job responsibility. So as a mom myself, I just found that really interesting. My bad. Mark stinks and Andrew is just spot on creepy. Spot on creepy.
There's some creepiness about Prince Andrew that continues on for the rest of life.
Yeah. So I just need to say, I don't think I ever want to see those actors in anything ever again. Because I will think of them as, well, Mark, whatever. Mark's just like a spoiled little brat. Where's my gravy?
Yeah, right.
Where's my binky? Andrew, like, goodness gracious. Because where is that actor from? I've seen him. I'm pretty sure I've seen him in like a teen adventure.
Andrew?
The actor who played Andrew, Prince Andrew.
I don't know Prince Andrew. I do know.
A Hunger Games spinoff, I feel like I've seen him.
I'll find out.
Okay.
I'll find out.
I also forgot that the Queen had four kids. Has anyone else forgotten that? Because just to your point before, like, the mother aspect of Queen Elizabeth is not something that is shown at all. I mean, we saw kids at the moon landing, but I didn't know who was who. I didn't know if they were just like people just hanging out. I don't know these people. Anyway, so that's just my bad, is I feel disconnected to them, but I think that that's kind of been the whole point, is that Elizabeth is disconnected to her kids. And then my great is Elizabeth giving Charles a hard time about Diana. On the flip side, I do struggle with it, because Diana was trying to call the Queen for a very long time while she was stuck in her tower.
Right.
Yeah, but I like that she's like, this woman is having your baby, and you brought her to the country when she wants to be in London. Shame on you.
Right.
So, well done. Well done, mommy.
Let's see.
Where were you months ago?
Tom Byrne is the guy who plays Prince Andrew.
I've seen him in a different film, and as I said, I feel like it's a teen
I feel like this is not the right guy that I'm looking at here.
I'll look him up. Why don't you tell me your GBGs?
All right, Prince Edward, you know. Prince Edward, you know, from the kid who would be king.
That's, never mind. I mixed up the two actors. Never mind. Thank you. That's who it was.
He played young Merlin and the kid who would be king.
Yes.
Yes. So
there we go.
Yeah.
Teen adventure movie.
That kid was good in the movie.
He was so good. I know. That's why I was like, I know this child and I know him in an adventurous kind of way. Okay.
That's funny.
And okay. Edward, we can handle. He can still be Merlin for me.
Well, it's funny that you bring up Edward and Andrew in the same sentence. Well, we do that, because the good for me, well, is a tie. The first one is the poached salmon. How both Edward and Andrew act so differently about it. And it, not only does it show, it highlight the differences between the two, why Andrew is really the favorite of Elizabeth. But it also goes to show you that Elizabeth, even though Andrew is the favorite, she still just has no idea about these two kids. And the fact, and it's even more so in the fact that these are the this is the first time we actually meet these two kids.
Who are these jabronis?
Right. Like, this is the first
princes.
Time we meet them. Yeah. They just happen to be Charles and Anne's brothers. Like, what?
It's straight up. Andrew is like, I'm second in line for the crown. Oh my God, you're actually an important person. Why are you spending so much time with, like, the queen mother? Oh, so, yeah, because you're Andrew.
Yeah, so you know, it's interesting and how the poached salmon is a thing that Peter Morgan uses to highlight the difference.
So your good is poached salmon.
Yeah. Okay. I never thought I'd say that in my life. No. But poached salmon is my good. But the tie of it goes to Elizabeth walking into the room with the Queen Mum and with Princess Margaret. And she's like, I need a drink.
Yes. And having a day.
The whole room reacts like, oh, whoa, okay, that is...
But, like, that's what it's like with your gal pals. That's what it's like with your close female family.
Yeah, sure.
And I love that Elizabeth has that safe space where she can be a mom.
But the fact that they reacted in the way that they did shows you that it doesn't happen, number one, that often. And number two, when it does happen, they understand.
This is Elizabeth, like, no drama Elizabeth.
Right, yeah. Right. And part of my bad is I wanted to see that conversation. That we didn't get a chance to see it. We didn't get a chance to see her having the drink and talk with the Queen Mum and Margaret and be like, whoa.
I feel like she rehashed everything that was said, though, when she was with Philip.
She definitely did. And is that, you know, what's the better choice? Having it with the sister and the mom or with Philip?
I enjoyed it better with Philip.
I would probably agree, only because Philip is so steadfast in his opinions.
Yes.
He's very Philip about it.
Also, I think, you know, they have such a, we were talking about how they have such an interesting relationship, Philip and Elizabeth, and how this was a really nice moment for them, for him to be like, you are a great mother, you know? So I loved it. But I mean, she even said, she said that the Queen Mum had said, you know, you're the mother to the entire nation.
Yeah.
So we got the recap.
For me, the bad is, you know, listen, I don't want to go too statsy for nerds on this. And I
thought you just had your bad.
No. That was kind of my bad. Like, it wasn't my official bad. My official bad is... That was more of a supplementary bad.
Oh, goodness.
My official bad is... Again, I don't want to go too statsy for nerds.
Okay.
But, you know, suggesting or even hinting at the idea that Margaret Thatcher started the Falklands War because her son was missing, to me, is
I didn't take it that way.
It was a tad inappropriate for me. And it, like, she was stressed out. She didn't want to handle any of it.
Yes.
And when she finally did, the way that it appeared to me, the way that it was written, was Margaret Thatcher couldn't do anything for her son. She just had to wait. She had to sit there and do nothing. But when she's finally given an option to actually do something, and that's why she has this great monologue of, I will not do nothing. We have to protect these people.
Yes.
And that is our job, to do something. The way
Was it around the same time? Like, did...
The Falklands War and the whole thing took place after what happened.
After they found her
with
son.
With her son, yeah.
Oh.
And, like, by a number of months.
Oh.
But again, I'm not going to go... stats are for nerds on that.
I mean, because, you are saying it's your bad, so I think you are kind of stats for nerding.
No, I'm not saying, well, because like it happened afterwards, it was like it happened in March of 1981, and like I'm not doing any of that. What I'm doing is saying there, that's some pretty dramatic license to say that the Falklands War was started because her son
But who's
missing.
To say that she wasn't influenced a little bit about you have to protect what's yours?
I mean,
because if it happened after... You know, she's just in protect mode, like mama bear mode.
Sure. All right. And of course, the great for me is Charles finally getting put into his place, kind of like you, Mary, where it's just I was happy just as a human.
Yes.
To see him
not be be told he's been a jerk.
Right. And the funny thing is that Elizabeth, the only one she really gives real advice to, real actionable stuff to do, is Charles.
It's true.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.